Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Odessa American, Sunday, April 3rd, 2022. Perryman, grow our own through education. High schools are too crowded, bond opponents say. Staff writer. Great communities start with great schools, and that's what members of Odessa for Education are striving to get across to residents. Proponents of the May 7th bond election say this week, Odessans for Education was formed to advocate for the Ector County ISD's $398,255,000 bond issue that comes up for a vote May 7th. Former Odessa Mayor Lorraine Perryman is co-chairing Odessa for Education with Chris Cole. She said in a survey of 4,000 people by Opportunity Odessa found that ECISD is number one priority of the 12 that they established for the future growth and prosperity of the community. Another question asked, what would be the one thing you would choose to get the biggest bang for your buck in Odessa, Texas? They overwhelmingly said the biggest bang for our buck is investing in education. So we know Odessans understand and support education and the improvements of our facilities in Ector County, Perryman said. Facility conditions are a very powerful lens that we can look through about what a community thinks about itself by looking at our schools. If you look at our schools now, what do you see? We don't think a whole lot of our kids. We don't think a lot of our community, and we don't think a lot of our future, she added. Perryman said that does not balance with what the attitude they know citizens have from the survey. Perryman noted that another school will give students more chances at extracurricular activities, which research shows helps students stay in high school and get their diploma. We've got lines of kids waiting to do all these programs in CTE, Perryman said. Our overcrowding affects our community to give kids the incentive to want to stay in school, to love school, by all the opportunities that they are given. We've talked about our past. This is our present. This bond is voting for our future. An investment in our schools is an investment in the future of Odessa for decades to come, she said. Perryman said oil and gas is the epicenter of the local economy. She added that because of the growing demand around the United States and around the world, 50,000 more skilled workers will be needed in the Permian Basin alone during the next 30 years. Perryman said it is not in the community's best interest to import all of those people from other parts of the country. We certainly need workers to come from elsewhere, but we need to grow our own, and how we grow our own in the Permian Basin is through education. We need to have technology improvements in every building. Because the future of our community, the future of our world, and these kids' communities depend on them learning, having the best technology available to them, and learning the state-of-the-art technology in our schools, in our CTE, so that they can go out and be the best trained workers that they can produce from the public education system. The total tax rate adopted by the local school board September 21, 2021, is $1.17792 per $100 valuation. The maintenance and operation tax rate is 1.05170 and the debt service 0.12622 per $100 valuation. The increase would go to the debt service side. District leaders anticipate this bond will create a tax rate increase of 15 cents. For a home with a taxable value of $100,000 would equate to a tax increase of about $12 per month. There would be no tax increase on resident homestead for taxpayers 65 and older, as state law dictates that the tax rate and the amount paid on a residence are frozen when that person turns 65 years of old, applies for the exemption, and is approved by the Ector County Appraisal District. ECISD gives local taxpayers a 20% homestead exemption, which is the maximum allowed by the law. Obituaries. Maria Costillo, Odessa. Maria Costillo, age 85, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on Wednesday, March 30th. Maria was born March 24, 1937. Maria was married to Salvador Castillo for 63 years. The couple had four children, Renee Castillo, Carol Vegas, Rosa Ocha, and Agenda Sanchez. Maria loved her makeup, especially her signature bright red lipstick, dancing, jewelry sparkle glitter. She was a true fashionista. She also enjoyed cooking, eating burgers, and Sunday cruises with her husband visiting her kids. Visitation will be held on Tuesday, April 5th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home, with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Mass of a Christian Burial will be held on Wednesday, April 6th at 2 p.m. at St. Joseph Catholic Church. Burial will follow at American Heritage Cemetery. Fond memories and expressions of sympathy may be shared at odessafuneralhome.com for the Castillo family. Marilyn Yvonne Mortimer, Odessa, Texas. Until we meet again, our precious loving wife, mother, grandmother, sister, aunt, and friend, Marilyn Yvonne Boer Mortimer is now in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with a host of loved ones anxiously waiting to celebrate her arrival on March 26th. God bless this world with her presence on February 11th, 1939, to enrich every life divinely He weaved into her. Marilyn spent her entire life loving, teaching, and raising a family. She shared 50-plus of those years with the love of her life, Rush Mortimer. Our beloved was also known by many young scholars as Mrs. Mortimer. She loved to learn and attend Howard Payne University, Prairie View A&M, and Texas A&M. She was a master teacher who loved empowering the young minds of every child. She loved and was loved by staff, parents, and the little students throughout her career. She started her teaching career with first grade at Old Rusk Elementary in Odessa, Texas. She served many campuses and institutions throughout her life, always having a special calling to students in the first grade. She marveled at children learning to read and write. Being an expert in her field led her to become a principal-inspired group of teachers to be experts for their students. She served as the Title IX director, putting her beliefs and passion into action for equity for all, regardless of the labels they carried. Marilyn served the communities of Ector County ISD, Brenham ISD, Concord Elementary and Houston ISD, and Blinn College, supporting students to develop the needed skills to be successful. Her love for teaching did not stop with academic learning. Marilyn taught the love of the Lord to everyone she encountered, as well as being a dedicated Sunday school teacher. Marilyn loved to read loud, always prayed for those she loved and those in need, while never meeting a stranger. We will celebrate the life of Marilyn Yvonne Boomer Mortimer on Saturday, April 2nd, officiating Brother Clydell Champson, Northside Baptist Church, 100 West 5th Street, Odessa, Texas, 2 p.m. Family visitation will be held April 1st at 6 to 8. Frank W. Wilson Funeral Home Chapel, Odessa, Texas. Mary Elizabeth Beth Curry, Odessa. Mary Elizabeth Beth Curry, 94 of Odessa, passed away on March 14th in her own home in Odessa, Texas. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, April 15th, at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Arrangements by Sunset Memorial. Beth was the only child born in Stillwater, Oklahoma, to Harold and Lefty Harrington on June 22, 1927. She eloped with Dale Curry, M.D., on May 16, 1948. She attended Oklahoma State University as Chi Omega, graduating with a B.S. in chemistry. Along with being a homemaker, she volunteered for many organizations. The family of Beth Curry wishes to extend our sincere thanks to our wonderful career-giving home hospice instead. Home hospice Dr. Stephanie Kubak and all their staff for all their support. To send condolences to the family, please sign the guest book at sunsetodessa.com. Sarah Jean Presnell Ferguson, Odessa. Sarah Jean Presnell Ferguson of Odessa, Texas, went to heaven on Wednesday, March 23rd. Sarah was born October 16, 1933 in Pollock, Texas, to Edwin Payne Presnall and Sarah Mae Hopper Presnall. Her parents preceded her in death, and as did her husband of 64 years. Sarah and John Ferguson were married on October 9, 1954 in Lufkin, Texas. The two met while attending Stephen F. Austin University in Nacogdoches. In 1957, they moved to Odessa with their one-year-old son, Jay. They knew they had found their forever home. Sarah was in the banking for 30 years, and soon after banking career, she and her sister Shirley opened Name Droppers, a ladies' consignment shop, in 1987. In 2009, after Shirley's passing, Sarah continued operating the fashionable shop. Many times she spoke of retirement, but because of her love for her friends and clients, she could not quit. Sarah loved God and was a godly woman. Then came her love for her family, friends, and animals. Sarah was a kind woman with a big heart, most loved family and confidant. Once a friend, always a friend. Sarah also loved decorating and was known for her decorating skills at home and her shop, Name Droppers. She was also an avid shopper. Lastly, Sarah loved Odessa and took pride in Permian Odessa High School, Odessa College, and our University of Texas at the Permian Basin. Sarah Jean Presnall Ferguson will be greatly missed by her family and her friends and the Odessa community. She was a member of the Crossroads Fellowship Church. There will be a memorial service at a later date.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, April 4th. Making higher education more affordable. OC grants aim to bring in more students. Odessa College has received several grants through the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board aimed at making higher education more affordable and preparing more residents for high-need jobs in the workforce. The college received two rounds of $1.5 million each for the Texas Reskilling Grant in January of 2021. OC also was awarded $500,000 for the Texas Reskilling and Upskilling Through Education Initiative in November 2021 and $250,000 for the Repayment Grant. The deadline to distribute the funds is September 30th. Quote, along the way, the Coordinating Board has made changes to expand the requirements to include more student eligibility, and they have extended the deadlines. We work with them on a regular basis. All of the colleges and universities who were awarded send end-of-semester reports, and then they have made adjustments in response to those reports. Vice President of Advancement, Business, and Governmental Relations Jackie Gore said. Continuing the quote, initially, the criteria were so narrow, very few students qualified, so they've made adjustments so that more students would qualify. And then they've extended both round one and round two that we were awarded, extended the deadline to September 30th, 2022, Gore said. Quote, we received word on this, the repayment grant, in December of 21, and were able to start awarding in January of 22. Each of these has a unique focus. The first one, and that's where we have spent a lot of our time over the last year, is the Texas Reskilling Grant. They've made adjustments to the criteria along the way in hopes to include more student eligibility. We just received a new change to the Texas Reskilling Grant this week. The criteria all along for the Texas Reskilling Grant, the student must be a Texas resident and complete the FASFA. They must be Title IV eligible, impacted by COVID, and it's just a yes or no question, Gore said. These dollars are COVID relief funds, so that's why it's a required question on all three grants, she said. You also have to be enrolled in one of the eligible programs, but it must be a high-skill, high-wage program. OC worked with its economist, Blair Roberts, as they were applying at the end of 2020. Quote, we reviewed our programs that had high wages and showed a need for skilled workforce. Those are the programs that are eligible. The students must be enrolled in those programs and not enrolled anywhere during the previous long semester or 6 months. That still applies, Gore said. Up until this point, as long as the student had not been enrolled over the last 6 months or long semester and met all the other criteria, then they should be awarded. The newest change that just came from the Coordinating Board this week is now students with no college are eligible, so newly enrolled students may also apply. It opens it up to a first-time-in-college student, she added. Grants coordinator Audrey De Leon said this also includes one of the identified certificates. Quote, you can quickly go through the application in 5 minutes or less. We were not taking a lot of people's time, first name, last name, telephone number, email address, date of birth, social security number, mailing address, city, state, zip, Gore said. She added that they are asking applicants to rank the areas where they have been most impacted by COVID, such as child health care and tuition and fees, to give them an idea of how they have been impacted by COVID. It also asked them to indicate their field of study. There are a wide variety of eligible programs from automotive and diesel technology to bachelor's degree programs. Quote, we have a committee that meets monthly to discuss how to get the word out to eligible students. Any challenges that we've had in awarding the students, reports on how many students have been awarded, and then we work as a group to prepare the report for the coordinating board, Gore said. She added that they had more than 800 students apply to date, and 58 students have been awarded. Quote, we're very excited about this new change the coordinating board just announced because we feel like that will allow us to award a larger number of students, Gore said. She added that prospective recipients have to meet all the criteria. Quote, that is one of the conversation points that we had with our coordinating board contacts, is letting them know some of the challenges that we're having, Gore said. De Leon said it's not just OC, it's other schools that have been awarded as well that are facing the same challenges, De Leon said. Quote, they're working with us to be able to help more students, she added. Gore said another change was that Pell Grant eligible students are able to get the grant, and it could be in addition to the Pell Grant. Quote, that's very helpful to those students, so those are some changes that have allowed us to award more students who might not have been awarded earlier in the process, Gore said. Gore added that this is all in an effort to help students in this area get an opportunity to reskill and upskill. Quote, so in all of our discussions with the coordinating board, they were very pleased that Odessa College applied for the dollars because they know how COVID impacted the Permian Basin. When we were first talking about this, our economy was not doing well at all, so we had a very clear case saying students in the Permian Basin need this help to reskill and upskill, Gore said. The coordinating board wants the college to distribute all the money so the college can help as many students as possible. Quote, that's our hope that we can get more information out and encourage students who have attended college in the past. It could have been 20 years ago that they attended college. Maybe they took a class or two. Come on back. It's time to get back in college. We can help you in this. Texas Reskilling Grant allows us to award up to $2,500 per semester to cover tuition and fees. We can cover all of your tuition in these designated programs, Gore said. For someone taking 12 hours, it would be $1,200 to $1,500 for tuition and fees, depending on the program. Some programs are more expensive than others, she said. The true grant is $500,000 and will be specifically for construction management. It will be offered in the fall of 2022 and will be a Level 1 certificate. Also, the Automation Level 1 certificate, which is an existing program, Gore said, students may be eligible for up to $2,500 in tuition assistance or up to $500 for additional cost of attendance, including textbooks and supplies, she added. De Leon said they will also be able to hire an instructor for the new construction management program and acquire supplies and materials. Quote, with this one, they wanted schools to be innovative and come up with new ideas based on the demands or needs of their local economy, De Leon said. Gore said both of the programs are in direct response to industry needs. Quote, so back probably 12 years ago, Chevron approached Odessa College about building an instrumentation and automation laboratory because they needed skilled workforce because so much in the oil field was becoming automated. That program has just continued to grow a lot of interest from students and a lot of interest from employers. We have a number of employers who approached Odessa College about speaking to our students and recruiting our students. And then the construction program, the reason we're adding it now, is in direct response to the City of Odessa request and local builders letting us know that they need skilled workforce in the area, Gore said. De Leon said she also thinks the Higher Education Coordinating Board's intention was to have OC come up with programs to help students quickly. Quote, so these are certificate programs so that they can get them, go through the program, get trained, and then immediately be able to go to work within a shorter amount of time, as opposed to a degree, she added. De Leon said the goal was to have students earn their certificate in 6 months or less. On the repayment grant, Gore said it truly gives people a second chance. Quote, all of these are exciting, but this one is very unique in really giving someone another opportunity at higher education. So many students start school, start college, and they don't necessarily know what they want to do. They don't know what they want to major in. They may take out student loans. And in the end, they may leave their higher education institution with an unpaid balance. Maybe they decide, oh, this is difficult, I'm not doing well, and walk away and leave an unpaid balance for various reasons, Gore said. That follows that student throughout their lifetime, prohibiting them from enrolling at any other higher education institution. Many people then decide, I want to go back, but until they pay that unpaid balance, they've been unable to. So what this grant does is clear their unpaid balance up to $1,000. That's right, and we have $250,000 to award, Gore said. The student's debt will be cleared once enrollment in a specified term is confirmed by OC, so they must enroll and then the prior debt will be cleared, she added. Quote, this is also available if that student wants to attend college elsewhere, Gore said. She added that as De Leon was preparing the grant application, they had data on how many students had an outstanding balance going back to 1995, through summer of 2021, the total number of students and what the average owed was. Students had to have incurred the debt before the fall of 2021. De Leon said they had more than 3,000 students that owed less than $1,000. Quote, that was our, you know, focus, and what we anticipate is that if we were to award those students, the average would be about $400, De Leon said.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Atrial fibrillation and urinating. Dr. Roach writes, a recent reader asked why she had to urinate a large amount after the onset of atrial fibrillation, as diagnosed by palpitations and confirmed by a heart monitor. Several colleagues and several readers with atrial fibrillation wrote in to say this was a known phenomenon, not yet known by me, however, and that the mechanism is medicated by a compound called atrial natriuretic peptide. This protein, made in the heart, is released when the heart is stretched, indicating the body is overfull of fluid. This causes a rapid and large elimination of fluid by the kidney. As always, I am grateful for knowledgeable people writing in.
Son has gradually turned away from Mom over the years. Dear Abby, my husband and I divorced when our only son was 3. We had joint custody. Our marriage ended because of his binge drinking, secrecy, verbal abuse, and one incident of domestic violence. At 14, my son chose to live with his father. His dad and stepmother have now alienated him from me. He's 30 now and has had problems abusing alcohol and marijuana. When I see him, there's always underlying hostility. I love and fear for him as any mother would. I attend Al-Anon meetings and have made myself geographically available to him over the last 8 years. He visits briefly once or twice every 6 months. I've offered to go to counseling with him. He is a counselor, but never invites me to come. I would pay for one, but my son says he's too busy to do more. Should I just give up? I'm afraid of letting go, but emotionally drained from a struggle. Signed, Mom with a Breaking Heart. Dear Mom, you have done everything you can to repair the tie that was broken so long ago. You can't fix what's wrong with your son. Whatever problems there were in the past, you've tried to deal with them the best you could. There's a saying in AA, let go and let God. For the sake of your own emotional well-being, it's time to do just that. Dear Abby, my boyfriend and I have been dating for a year. We're now making arrangements to move in together. I consider myself lucky because every day my partner tells me I'm beautiful, that I am kind, and many wonderful things. I know he adores me. However, he has not told me he loves me. Nor have I said it to him. Am I old-fashioned in assuming my male partner should tell me he loves me first? I'm getting impatient. Signed, Dear Girlfriend, Great Girlfriend in Idaho. Dear Girlfriend, I have a suggestion. Before you move in with him, why don't you simply ask him why he hasn't said the words you long to hear? From what you've written, he demonstrates it often. His answer may be enlightening and could affect whether you proceed with your plans. Dear Abby, we live next door to a nice Jewish family with 3 precious kids who seem to really like us old retirees. I had planned to make a Passover cake for them and had input on how to prepare kosher. However, I'm having second thoughts. Should I send a card telling them I'd like to prepare something, or should I go ahead and prepare it anyway? Or should I just send a Passover greeting instead? Signed, Wondering in Texas. Dear Wondering, a card might be the wiser way to go. Before you go to the expense of buying the ingredients, talk with the wife. Tell her what you're planning and find out how strictly kosher the family is. While some families would welcome your generosity, others might prefer not to consume something that wasn't prepared from kosher products and prepared in a kosher kitchen.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.